KBBI's Morning News is sponsored by the Homer Foundation, connecting generosity to community need on the Southern Kenai Peninsula. Since 1991, the foundation has provided more than $6 million in local grants and scholarships, helping students pursue education and training that strengthen our communities. Every scholarship tells a story and is an opportunity created by donors who care about the future. Join us and consider how your gift today or planned gift for tomorrow can make a lasting difference. The Homer Foundation, celebrating 35 years of generosity, scholarships, and community.
For Tuesday, February 24th, 2026, I'm Simon Lopez with KBBI's Morning News. And first up, the Homer City Council confirmed a new police chief and approved several spending measures at its regular meeting last night. Members confirmed Michael Scanlon as Homer's next police chief. He will take over in March after the current chief retires. The council introduced an ordinance to spend just over $1,500 from the Land Reserve Fund to buy a tax-foreclosed lot for stormwater management. Members also introduced an ordinance to spend $25,000 from the Port Reserve Fund to buy timber to repair the spare fender at the Deepwater Dock. Representative Sarah Vance updated the council on several of her bills, including measures on AI-generated child abuse material, agriculture and small boat fisheries, and protections for seniors from crypto and AI phone scams. During public comment, one resident urged the council to keep the city's current vote tabulation method for multi-seat races. She said it most accurately reflects voter support. Another resident told the council that the city still does not have a crosswalk near the Homer Public Library at Heath Street. He said it has been a safety concern for years. The council approved spending about $45,000 for information technology upgrades, including a new recording system for emergency dispatch. Members also approved buying a 2026 dump truck with a total cost of about $277,000. The ordinance authorizes roughly $75,000 for the first of four annual payments. Council members introduced an ordinance to move Homer's municipal election from October to November to align with the Kenai Peninsula borough and state elections. They also approved a small wording change in the elections code to keep existing rules about advisory boards consistent. Under new business, council members discussed whether short-term rental platforms such as Airbnb could collect city sales tax directly. Councilmember Jason Davis said the Kenai Peninsula Borough is not pursuing a direct collection agreement. He said Homer could explore setting up its own agreement. During reports, Mayor Rachel Lord said the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District faces an $8.5 million budget deficit. She said she expects the school board will stop funding local pool operations because of the shortfall. Councilmember Jason Davis told the council that the high school musical will take place next month in the Mariner Theater. The stage has been closed since last month after a rigging failure. The council will meet again Monday, March 9th at 6 p.m. The Alaska Federation of Natives urged state lawmakers Thursday to fix Alaska's dual fish and wildlife management system. It's a legal impasse that goes back for decades, one that has long frustrated natives who depend on hunting and fishing to put food on the table. But as KNBA's Rhonda McBride reports, there are no easy answers.
One of the challenges ahead for a legislative fix, only a handful of lawmakers are familiar with the battle over subsistence that heated up in 1980, when Congress passed the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act, or ANILCA. It established a rural priority for subsistence, but that clashed with the Alaska Constitution, which forbids granting access based on where you live. So what evolved? Two different wildlife management systems, one for the state and one for federal land.
There's not going to be a silver bullet. This is going to be a long journey.
AFN co-chair Joe Nelson told the House Tribal Affairs Committee that Alaskans have become ensnared far too long in a web of litigation over state and federal laws.
We're trying to pull together everybody because it's just heartbreaking that the people on the other side of the table on these issues are Alaskans as well.
Nelson says dual management has meant dueling management for Alaskans, and no one ever wins.
And our hope is that our children and grandchildren will inherit a better system, so we feel like it is on all of us to improve the system right now.
During the hearing, Representative Justin Ruffridge, a Republican from Soldotna, acknowledged the huge learning curve ahead. He admitted he had little working knowledge of foundational legislation, like the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, and terms like traditional and customary use.
I feel like I'm a subsistence user of the resource in my community, but then growing up, had a number of friends who were, I would say, traditional and customary users of the same resource, who were members of the Kenaitse tribe. The way that we used the resource was dramatically different.
Ruffridge calls the current system of overlapping jurisdictions a mess.
This is not just a first Alaskans issue. This seems to be an all Alaskans issue of how we approach this thing.
Although several state legislatures have tried repeatedly to put a constitutional amendment on the ballot to resolve the conflict, AFN has asked lawmakers to try again. AFN also plans to pursue some federal fixes, such as reopening the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, which gave Native corporations legal title to 44 million acres of land. AFN says it wants to repeal the section that extinguishes Aboriginal hunting and fishing rights and replace it with a framework that will allow Alaska Natives to control hunting and fishing on Native lands, now under state wildlife management. AFN also wants to amend ANILCA to improve the federal government's subsistence management program and include protections specifically for Alaska Natives. Proposals which would not eliminate the state's dual management system, but might also create more complexity. AFN President Ben Malott says he knows these changes will be a hard sell.
It's not something we can do overnight, but it really means all of us have to be on the same page, working together to bring a system that works for rural Alaska and works for our communities.
AFN's co-chair, Joe Nelson, says with the upcoming governor's election, it's important to get the conversation started now.
And whoever the next governor needs to be an expert in this type of thing. And if they're not, we need to find the governor who can be, somebody who really gets this stuff.
AFN says it's offering new ideas to make old legislation and the systems they created work better for everyone. But whether longtime advocates for states' rights and primacy over fish and game management will see it the same way remains to be seen. In Anchorage, I'm Rhonda McBride.
And that's it for this morning's news. You are listening to KPBI AM 890 in Homer and 88.1 FM in Seward through translator K201AO. Also online at kbbi.org. News tips and story ideas can be emailed to news at kbbi.org. KBBI is now accepting submissions for art for this year's Members Mug. You can find the rules and a template at kbbi.org. Also, applications for vendors, sponsors, and musicians for this year's Concert on the Lawn are available on our website. Good morning.